Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. South Africa suspends a third high-ranking police officer over the illegal rendition of Zimbabweans in 2010. One of the Zimbabweans surrendered to the Zimbabwe police was later found dead with bullet wounds.
We need to know what happened, how it happened, and why. Because all of the allegations that are contained therein are allegations in a sense that are committed in the name of South Africans.
Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights raises concern over the alleged militarization of the National Prosecuting Authority.
As far as we're aware, there is no state of emergency. There is no national disaster in this country. So we have to question what those soldiers are doing there. What is the national security issue which requires soldiers to be part of the prosecution services in this country?
And the MDC renewal team finally files papers with the Constitution Court challenging the expulsion of its 21 lawmakers from Parliament. One more high-ranking police officer has been suspended in South Africa over the illegal rendition of Zimbabweans in 2010, bringing to three suspensions over the issue so far. Some of the Zimbabweans who were illegally handed over to Zimbabwean authorities were allegedly killed by the Zimbabwean police. As Benedictine Nhlapo reports from Johannesburg, the new police minister, Nkosinathi Nhleko, says he wants every officer who was involved to face the full might of the law, and heads have started rolling.
Police Minister Nkosinathi Nhleko is leaving no stone unturned in his bid to bring to book all those involved in the illegal renditions of Zimbabweans in November 2010. In this case of rendition, which is illegal here, South African police kidnapped and illegally transferred the Zimbabweans to the Zimbabwean police authorities. Now heads have started to roll as the long arm of the law searches for those who facilitated the renditions. The first two top law enforcement officers to be suspended were Anwar Dramat, national head of the Hawks, and Lieutenant General Shadrack Sibiya, head of the Hawks in Gauteng, both for allegedly facilitating the renditions. And now the head of Independent Police Investigative Directorate, Robert McBride, has been suspended also in connection with the rendition saga. Police Minister Nhleko says it is time for those involved to account for their actions.
We need to know what happened, how it happened, and why. Because all of the allegations that are contained therein are allegations in a sense that are committed in the name of South Africans.
Zimbabwean freelance journalist Mxolisi Ncube, who claims he's living in fear after being accused in the Zimbabwean state media of being Baba Jugwa, says investigations into the renditions will restore foreigners' confidence in the South African police.
We need to see these people being punished if they are found guilty. They have to face the music, they have to be taken to the court of law, they have to be tried for whatever they did. And according to me, considering that two of the people that were renditioned died in the process, I think these people have to be tried for murder, because they are the ones that took these people who were hiding here in South Africa, believing that it was a safe place for them.
Another Zimbabwe national, Mlungisi Tshabalala, says by investigating these illegal actions of the police, South Africa is setting a good example for the African continent.
This is a step in the right direction, and we salute the minister for that. An arrested person should be charged and taken to the South African courts, and the courts decide if there is need for extradition. Kidnapping and illegal renditions are criminal activities, and those involved must be severely punished.
Up to 15 politically outspoken Zimbabweans seeking refuge in South Africa have reportedly disappeared without a trace, and activists believe they are also victims of the renditions. The rendition saga came to light when one witness there, his nephew, Shepherd Chuma, and two of their friends were arrested in 2010 for being illegal immigrants. Chuma says they were taken to Beitbridge border post, where they were handed over to the Zimbabwean police, who accused them of having killed a police officer before they left Zimbabwe. Ndeya was later reportedly found dead with multiple gunshots, but it is not clear if he was killed by the police. Now activists are calling on Zimbabwean Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi to institute an investigation and punish the Zimbabwean police officers who worked with their South African counterparts in allegedly carrying out this horrendous act. Reporting for Studio 7 in Johannesburg, this is Benedict Nhlapo.
The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights has raised a serious concern with the alleged militarization of the National Prosecuting Authority and is urging Parliament to urgently probe the development. The issue has come to the spotlight following an incident in which Deputy Prosecutor General and Director of the recently established National Prosecuting Authority, Florence Ziyambi, was allegedly assaulted at her workplace by one Colonel Solomon Siziba. Siziba is the NPA Director for Administration and Secretary for the NPA Board. At least two more officers from the Army, a Major Msipa and Major Manyeruke, are said to be working at the NPA. The ZLHR says it is unconstitutional to have Army officers working for the National Prosecuting Authority. Efforts to get a comment from Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana were futile as his mobile phone went unanswered. But Chairperson of the Parliamentary Legal Committee, J.C. Majome, told Studio 7 that a committee has already invited the Prosecutor General and the Attorney General to hearings, adding ordinary Zimbabweans are welcome to raise complaints on the alleged militarization of state institutions. Director Irene Petras of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the use of the military at civilian authorities is a cause for concern.
Well, the National Prosecuting Authority is a civilian institution. Now, at the moment that you start seconding soldiers and police officers to a civilian institution, there's only one way that that can happen in terms of the Constitution. And that's where there is a state of emergency. As far as we're aware, there is no state of emergency. There is no national disaster in this country. So we have to question what those soldiers are doing there. What is the national security issue which requires soldiers to be part of the prosecution services in this country?
But how can this be challenged?
Well, we've called for the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee to summon the National Prosecuting Authority. They're entitled to get information from them about how and why they're seconding these officers to that institution. And they have to appear before Parliament and give those answers so that people are sure of what exactly is going on. It's common cause that in this country there are a lot of law graduates who are looking for employment. They're civilians, and there's no reason why they should not be employed within the National Prosecuting Authority if there is a shortage of prosecutors in that institution.
That was Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights Executive Director Irene Petras speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. The MDC renewal team today filed papers with the Constitution Court challenging the expulsion of its 21 lawmakers from Parliament. The party in the same breath has vowed to boycott all pending by-elections until comprehensive electoral reforms are put in place. The MDCT took the same position yesterday, leaving ZANU-PF with a clear shot at collecting 14 of the parliamentary seats up for grabs. The renewal team lawmakers were kicked out after they were recalled by the MDCT following another party split. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached MDC renewal spokesman Jacob Mafume.
without fundamental reforms, we are not going to participate in by-elections. What is surprising to us is that our colleagues now say, after having caused 21 parliamentarians to leave parliament, they are now saying they will not participate. What kind of behavior is that? It means that they would prefer Grace Mugabe to be in Harare East than Tendai Beach. They would prefer Jonathan Moyo to be in Cholocho than Honorable Ngomo. We are surprised at this behavior. That's why sometimes we say people have been bought, or maybe since many of them married into ZANU-PF, they are paying lobola.
You were set to litigate over this matter with the Constitutional Court. How far have you gone?
We have since filed with the Constitutional Court this afternoon. We are going to file the agent application tomorrow with the Constitutional Court. We firmly believe that we have to protect our rights. Section 129K, as it is being used by the Speaker, sends a chilling effect to internal party democracy. It kills debate in internal parties, because once you disagree with the political leader of a party, you are then sent out of the party and also sent out of parliament.
MDC Renewal spokesman Jacob Mafume on the line with Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, dying in the diaspora, a great toll on surviving relatives and friends. But first, a look at regional and international news. Recovery efforts have resumed at the site of the crash of a German Wings Airbus A320 that went down yesterday in the French Alps, killing all 150 people on board. The French Interior Ministry says one of the so-called black boxes from German Wings flight for U9525 has been recovered, although damaged, and is being analyzed in Paris for clues to the cause of the crash. Thousands of mourners packed the streets today to pay respects to Singapore's late founder, Lee Kuan Yew, whose body was transported on top of a gun carriage from the president's residence to Parliament House. And Islamic State militants claimed responsibility today for a suicide bombing a day earlier in the eastern Libyan city of Benghazi that killed at least 7 soldiers. The attack involved a silent ramming a car into an army checkpoint. Many Zimbabweans leave the country hoping to one day return alive. But as recent deaths of Zimbabweans in the diaspora have shown, this is not always the case. This issue hit home again this week when two Zimbabweans, Nancy Tinonza and Malene Tariro, both graduates of the United States Achievers Program, or USAP, died in separate incidents. Coordinator Rebecca Ziegler-Mano of the USAP says they are saddened by the deaths.
The USAP family, which is the scholarship program that these girls were on, is an amazingly strong and tight-knit family. And they really banded together everything from staying together, working through the war funeral policies and all the processes to get these girls home, fundraising to come home. They're working on that. And I think they're really devastated, really grieving to lose such two bright lights in a short space of time. We're all grieving.
And what about their families? Are you visiting the families, and how are they?
Yes. So the families on this side, obviously, they're in incredible pain. But the USAP students who live and work in Zimbabwe who've returned after their studies, they've also been amazing, going kubatamoko to the families' homes and bringing groceries and being with them for all the steps of the way as well.
And that was Coordinator Rebecca Ziegler-Mano of the United States Achievers Program, or USAP, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. Aside from grieving, families are faced with high costs to repatriate their loved ones home. failing to raise funds, which total thousands. Repatriations are delayed, as in the case of celebrities like Fortune Mparutsa, Pretty Klaba, Nevane Muenga of Studio 263, and others, including medical practitioner Otilia Chireka. Sending the remains of USAP graduates at Dinonza and Tariro will cost an estimated $40,000, of which nearly half has been raised online by Zimbabweans. For perspective on dealing with the death in the diaspora, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Jeff Matzingo, director of Diaspora Funeral Plan, and USAP graduate Chiedza Mufunde, who says raising money is an uphill task.
Both situations, really sudden deaths, unexpected. And I would say that in the efforts we've been making to send both girls home, it's just been the generosity of the Zimbabwean community and also speaks to who these two young women are. But I think that in the bigger picture, this is just really unfortunate and really speaks of, you know, what happens when we go away and when things like this happen.
Mr. Matzingo, what could be your reaction on what she's saying?
Yeah, it's very, very tragic, and we want to convey our condolences to their families and friends. And it brings to the point, really, that in life, there is no more certainty than that at some point we all go, and we never know when we are going. Some go young, some go old, but the key thing is to prepare for such eventualities. You can't continue to burden the society, always trying to raise funds from the community. People need to move forward and try to give the community a better chance to celebrate their lives instead of begging from the same community for the help. It's not only USA. Here in the UK, we have situations like that every time.
So, Chiesa, yes. We understand that you have gone online, but is there any other better way that you could have most probably, you know, taken?
So, you know, I can't say better way because right now this is the way. And we are focusing on sending Nancy and Moline home. And it's unfortunate, as Sir just mentioned, that, you know, when you're young, I'm young as well. You know, just thinking that maybe death is something that's so far away. But I think that in this moment, we really are focusing on what needs to be done immediately. And I think after this experience, this calls for all of us to reflect on the meaning of being away from home and on the meaning of when things like this happen. But I do really appreciate just knowing that there are services like this, that there can be insurance, and maybe it's part of the education. I think it's moments like this as well where we begin to learn what we need to do to prepare. But I would say that right now, this is the way, and this is the way we've been able to do this because of the love and the caringness and the kindness of the Zimbabwean community and the USAP community, which is a program that has brought at least me and Nancy and some other people who've really been at the center of this. And I think with sudden death as well, we never know. We never know. But I appreciate that. I think this information should be public and this information should be sent out.
Mr. Matzingo, I think you can hear the distress in Chiesa's voice. What type of funeral plans do you have for people in the diaspora?
I would say over time, a civilized society crafts some solutions to their problems. We having realized this problem that we are facing in the diaspora, myself being a financial advisor, a banker by profession, we have worked with Zimnat Life to craft a solution, guaranteed acceptance, no medicals on application, no medicals on claim. Every Zimbabwean worldwide can cover themselves up to $20,000. The only exception being people in the SADC region, because of proximity to Zimbabwe, the maximum cover they can take is $5,000. Anyone further afield from the SADC region can cover up to $20,000, which is enough money to repatriate someone from USA, from Australia, from Canada. So the product has been running for the past 3 years, and it's called Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan. DiasporaFuneralCashPlan.com is the website, and it's also on the Facebook. It's a very, very fantastic product meant specifically to help families immediately there is a bereavement. If there is a bereavement in the family, all what is required is proof of death, and within 24 hours, the money is processed into any bank worldwide.
Hey, Ms. Mufunde, can you react to what Mr. Matzingo is saying?
This is a fantastic service, and I appreciate hearing about it now, but like I said, we are in the thick of this. And we would love to send these two girls home. And right now, with the youcaring.com service that we've been using to raise funds, we're going to focus on that right now.
That was Chiedza Mufunde, a USAP graduate living in the US. You also heard from Jeff Madzingo, director of Diaspora Funeral Plan. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Every year, Zimbabwe joins the rest of the world in marking International Women's Day, but there's concern that the commemorations are not inclusive of all women in the country. As Safari Njema reports, such events are rarely celebrated by women in the rural areas, especially those with disabilities.
On Sunday, Zimbabweans commemorated International Women's Day under the theme Empowering Women, Empowering Humanity, Picture It. It was a time to reflect on how to achieve a world where women and girls can participate more in politics and the global economy, focus on women's rights and gender equality. However, women with disabilities say the commemorations have little meaning for them since they are not actively involved in the planning and execution of the programs. 32-year-old Judith Mukodzani is visually impaired and walks with the aid of a white cane. She lost her job as a receptionist at AfriAsia Bank last month when the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe cancelled its operating license. Judith says they are invited to International Women's Day commemorations as a mere formality.
Women with disabilities are not playing part in politics, and education as well is lacking in women who are disabled. A few women who are disabled are employed, whilst most of them are in the streets.
Judith says women with disabilities are discriminated in issues of reproductive health if they fail to assert themselves. She told Studio 7 that her boldness paid off one day in the Central Business District when officials testing and counseling members of the public refused to attend to her.
I thought they were discriminating me and threatened to call the National AIDS Council and actually advise them of what was going on. So then that's when they took me aside and then they counseled me and tested me after I'd caused a stir.
Her sister, Vimbaina Shemukodzani, works for a local organization that focuses on reproductive health issues. The 25-year-old mother of one says visually impaired women who live on the streets are not accessing reproductive health care since they do not have radios and televisions.
If there was action, maybe we would see maybe in the streets many blind women not giving birth every maybe year, because you can see maybe the other maybe blind women have a 1-year-old and maybe she's pregnant again and she's begging. So that shows that they don't have information to go maybe and get maybe the family planning methods or maybe to go and get even tested.
One of the senators who represents people with disabilities in parliament, Anna Shiri, says apart from celebrating achievements that have been made in empowering women, International Women's Day should also be a time to reflect on challenges faced by women with disabilities.
We are only there at Senate, but it's councillors, special interest councillors. I think we have only one, Mabaud in Harare. So we want self-representation. We want to be included as persons with disabilities.
Senator Shiri says they are lobbying members of parliament to ensure that women with disabilities have a voice through the revival of parliamentary constituency information offices.
We have engaged the clerk of parliament, the acting clerk of parliament, and he's promised us that he's going to also make sure that we do have the information centers in our constituencies nationwide.
Media trainer Wellington Gadzikwa says there is a need to change people's attitudes towards women with disabilities.
The issue of women and women with disabilities must be something that people talk about every day, try to implement every day, not even to try to do it when we have International Women's Day. It has to do with how we want our society to develop, how we want to orient our children, our and so forth. So in every sphere of life, we must mainstream and make sure that we accommodate women with disabilities.
Wellington says women with disabilities should ensure their rights are spelled out in the constitution and are respected.
They must stand out and make the necessary noise, because no one who speak on their own behalf, because they know what they want, they know where they want to go. It's up to them to make sure that their concerns are constantly heard.
Acting Director in the Ministry of Women's Affairs, Gender and Community Development, Wilson Karonga, says time has come for Zimbabweans to work together to stop the abuse of women with disabilities. He says disability organizations should feel free to approach his ministry so solutions to their grievances can be worked out. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
Thank you, Safari. Coming up next is an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A prominent Zimbabwean journalist and pro-democracy activist snatched in broad daylight in a Harare suburb remains missing more than 2 weeks after his abduction. According to witnesses, Atai Dezimata was seized by five men while getting his hair cut March 9th and loaded into an unmarked truck. He hasn't been seen since, and authorities say they have no leads on his welfare or whereabouts. Mr. Dezimata heads the pro-democracy group Occupy Africa Unity Square that calls on President Robert Mugabe, holding power since 1987, to step down. The group takes its name from Africa Unity Square in the capital, the site of Zimbabwe's parliament and federal courts. He has pressed the demands in his writings, and 2 days before his kidnapping, he spoke at an opposition rally calling for mass protests against political and economic conditions in the southern African nation. The United States joins the European Union, Canada, the United Kingdom, and international human rights groups in deep concern over Mr. Dezimata's disappearance. It is notable that the government of Zimbabwe officially acknowledged concern over what it called a barbaric act, and the United States prevails on the government of Zimbabwe to pursue action to resolve the case. The United States urges the Zimbabwean authorities to mobilize their full resources to locate Mr. Dezimata and investigate the circumstances surrounding his disappearance, as well as to ensure the protection of his human rights and fundamental freedoms. The United States stands with Mr. Dezimata and the people of Zimbabwe in defending the rights to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly, and joins calls for Mr. Dezimara's immediate and safe return to his family and friends.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment...
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about dying in the diaspora. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. And now to recap today's top stories. South Africa suspends a third high-ranking police officer over the illegal rendition of Zimbabweans in 2010. One of the Zimbabweans surrendered to the Zimbabwe police was later found dead with bullet wounds. The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights raises concern over the alleged militarization of the National Prosecuting Authority. And the MDC renewal team files papers with the Constitutional Court challenging the expulsion of its 21 lawmakers from Parliament. That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington wishing you a restful evening. Good night, Zimbabwe.